It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, not Christmas. It's the breakdown of the first wave of music festival lineups. Welcome back to the next episode, Will Be Better Podcast. And I am here with two very special people. My first, on my far right, my co-host, Colin Cheeses Kruger. Colin, how are you?
Freaking great, man. Sheesh. I was going to say freaking heck yeah, but I don't know. I kind of paused a little too much there.
All right. And then we also have a very special guest for the music pod. I felt it was only fitting to have in the Beard Residence Studios, one of my closest friends and my partner in crime in all music festival activities over the past 2 years. It's Michael Bailey. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah. So this is kind of, honestly, this is probably my show that I'm most excited about that we've done so far. This is stuff that is really...
How dare you? Just slandering everything we've done to this point.
Yeah, it's all
my
it's all
God.
By the wayside. I couldn't care less. But no, it's the one I'm most excited about because, I mean, clearly it's, if you know me in my personal life, it's pretty much all I talk about on a regular basis of like, oh, that reminds me of the music festival I went to, or oh, this band played at a music festival I know. So
ties into a lot of
I'm
things.
I'm pretty insufferable around friends, family. At this point, my family boycotted me for coming to Christmas. But no, I mean, it's such an important thing to me, and me and Michael really enjoy going to these things. Colin's been to Lollapalooza, me and Michael.
Oh, you know. Yeah.
I do, man.
We've been to Firefly Music Festival now and over the last 2 years. So with some of the lineups in the first wave of lineups dropping, clearly not all of them are out yet. Over the next month or two, like everyone for the summer should really be out. But we wanted to touch on some of the new waves of stuff. But before we do that, we're going to keep the format similar to how we've always done the show, so we'll just dive into some of the new music. And it was kind of a slow week last Friday, and we kind of have had a slow week ourselves.
A little bit of a hiatus.
Yeah, we took a hiatus for about a week with the Christmas time. You know how it is for the mid-20-year-olds working in retail, dear God. Like, finding any time for yourselves is hard. But
yeah, it's pretty – I'll be honest, it's pretty – some would say pretty fucking shitty.
Not the most upside down of the year. Retailers.
But yeah, so I was just looking it over, and to be honest, there's not a whole lot of music that I personally care about that's out right now. I don't know if you had anything, Colin, that like
I'd say in terms of
Friday.
I more or less would say if we're gonna track back of the last couple weeks where we haven't done a music pod,
yeah,
and
we
stuff
haven't
have come out.
So yeah,
there's hip hop albums that you would know if you know enough about rap that came out that have been really good. You have the JID album, which is really good. Meek Mill came out with an album. Meek Mill's album is really good. Also got an Earl Sweatshirt album, which is kind of...
Oh, you finally got your wish. I didn't...
I did, and it's kind of little Mike Posner poetry talking kind of esque, but it's...
Spoken word?
Yeah, but I mean, not really. It's really interesting. It'd take a bit for... if you're not a fan of him, it's very interesting to say the least. But outside of that, not really much. At this point now in the year for me, it's kind of... making playlists and kind of wrapping up what I thought was the best music of the year and kind of making my own personal list and kind of just getting an idea of what came out this year. And yeah, so that's probably about it.
Yeah, it is pretty slow, especially this week in particular. The only thing that I'm even seeing that even catches my interest, like the new Spider-Man album from the
I still
the
didn't
Spider-Verse,
realize that was a thing.
Yeah, that and apparently like
there's big names on
down,
that album.
And down rabbit hole of like trying not to tangent off into a movie podcast, but that movie's getting like
crazy reviews like, for an animated movie.
So that's kind of funny, but we'll save that for a future movie pod or something if we ever do that. But yeah, I mean, that's got some heavy hitters on it. A lot of rap, you know, big name rap artists that are on there. I mean, like just to list a couple, Lil Wayne's on it, Nicki Minaj, Post Malone. So there's some big names on there, but yeah, I mean, realistically, I haven't taken the time to listen to it. I know my girlfriend was really amped about the new Ariana Grande song that came out, so and she said it's good. So
if you're there, you go. You'll hear it. You'll hear it everywhere, man. You'll hear her anywhere you go.
But yeah, the other big thing. I will say, I know Bruce Springsteen's Broadway show
Apparently, it's supposed to be crazy.
Everyone says it's crazy, crazy good. It's on Netflix right now too. I just saw that they posted on there. So that I think his album from that actually just went on Spotify too.
I'll always give that a listen. My mom is the biggest Springsteen fan in the world.
Yeah. Seriously.
That's how it was. Anyone's parents around that kind of age range. Yeah.
And
it's
now that I'm thinking
no question.
I actually had something that does pertain to me that came out over the last week. Judah and the Lion came out.
I forgot about that.
They came out with two, but you should really say more one-ish because it's kind of, it feels almost kind of prelude-ish. The first song does because it almost ties into the second one and it's kind of feels like one big long song, but Quarter Life Crisis is good.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a lot of their last album. So, I like that. And I know I've talked about those guys, in the past on this, music pod before. So, yeah, that's worth checking out if you're into that, or if you stumbled onto them from our podcast and, like those guys, I would encourage you guys to look at that. But other than that, like I said, pretty slow. I mean, this time of year is always pretty slow for new music. I mean, I feel like rap's a constant cycle of hip hop and rap.
There's just so much coming out.
Yeah, there's no protocol for when they drop stuff. It's kind of whenever.
And the thing I like the most about it is that it's kind of become a common thing now to just drop it. There's no single buildup. There's no 4 months or 5 months of waiting. It's just kind of like, okay, fuck you guys. I'm just going to do it. And then everyone's blown away by it. So.
Needs to stream it, you know.
So yeah, it's the way it is, man.
Trend now these days, and that's how you get your music out.
Well, I think a lot of things too. Like I actually just heard on one of the radio shows I was listening to, they made the point that you know streaming really is it's killing music to an extent, but it's also going to change. I think how future generations
it just changes the way it
consume
works.
Consume it,
yeah.
Because I think in reality, especially kind of you know hip hop and rap's mentality of doing. Like the singles and just like leaking singles one at a time and then maybe even just doing like more EP style. I think that's going to be more of like how you do it because it's almost becoming a cost to do anything for, you know, alternative bands or rock bands or any of these bands that are trying to do full albums. The production costs are too much because they're not selling full albums. So it gets to a point where I feel like you're almost going to start seeing streaming stuff with, you know, Spotify and Apple Music and all this stuff where you're going to start seeing a lot of singles from artists, and then you know if they want to throw out an album, that's really on them. It's not up to the, you know, the company, the record company that's doing it anymore. So I thought that was an interesting point. I feel like music already is.
Artists are starting to really get more of a handle on their own music, which I think is great.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I think it's just there's not going to be a middleman anymore. Really, the way that you can just the convenience that they can throw something on and say if you have a big enough following, you can. Have a number one hit in seconds.
Exactly.
So that's all it takes, man.
Completely.
Ariana Grande's that music video for Thank You Next. I think it had like 50 million views in less than a day and a half.
And that's all they're
50 million views. Dude, like listeners alone, like think of any like the smaller bands you've ever like listened to. That's like numbers I'll maybe never get.
The way our
that's insane.
Our generation consumes music now.
It's media.
It is all media. So did you actually see just over the last weekend, there was a skit that went viral on SNL about Weezer.
Oh yeah, I saw that too.
And
that
it's a funny
hilarious
skit, but
yeah.
It has to do with how Weezer's music has like some people. It's a divided group of fans.
Very much
they
so.
Feel like
were they like this certain type of Weezer?
Blue album's the only good album. Like you know, Green album.
Someone
the only
says
good
White
album.
Album's really good.
But then Matt Damon comes in and says like you know like. They're always coming out with new stuff that are constantly evolving. And, like, it's good because there's those fans out there. And I like, you know, I'm not going to say I like everything Weezer's ever done, but I mean, there's stuff off, you know, recent albums that I've liked.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
I mean, like, but it's so funny because then there were people sitting at the table in the skit that are just saying, like,
no,
they suck. Like, there's been nothing since Pinkerton that's been any good. So, like, I thought it was a really clever skit, but do you know what was trending from, you know, Spotify and stuff like that after that skit? Was Weezer's music.
Of course. It's all it takes.
And that's how
it's in a big enough outlet, it's going to apply. Yeah.
That's how we consume stuff. Because, like, I
all
just feel like there's so much media spread out that is available to us nowadays that I feel like that's almost how I listen to music is like somebody comes out with a new song. I'm like, you know what? I haven't listened to those guys in a while. So I'm going to go on a big binge of those guys for a while. It's just, I feel like that's how everyone does it. Or, like, you know, something goes viral and they're like, oh my God, I forgot those guys existed. I'm going to go listen to those. It's like, it's kind of funny that that's how it works, but I feel like that is how this generation consumes it. And I feel like it's just going to keep getting worse or better depending on how you look at it. But
definitely.
I feel like that's kind of how the direction it's headed. And let's
lead that into the festival talk because you're getting 45 minute segments of each band. So
there we go, man.
As much as we can possibly consume.
This is gonna be a girthy pod. Excuse my nasty words, but yeah, there you go.
But let's let's start with the one I think that's most important to me and Michael, and I think the one that we can probably talk about the longest.
Yeah,
and that's Firefly Music Festival because we have been to it now 2 years in a row. I don't know. Does that qualify us as veterans?
I would say
something like that. You make the trip.
So we've done it twice now. So
you know what's going on.
And overall reaction, and I'm actually going to open up Facebook. I'm actually, and for those of you, I'm going to drop this into the community that I follow on Facebook, and I'm hoping some of those people that are on that listen to this because I'd love to get feedback on Anchor, anything like that from them for what we're saying, or if you have feedback that you'd like us to discuss in future music stuff, we'd love to have that feedback from anybody. Any listeners outside of, you know, really our social media ring would be
drop it in there, and just get a Q&A going. Just send out questions, and we'll go through all of it.
We do this music pod probably once. We try to do it about once a week. So we're going to talk about new stuff, music that you should listen to typically. But now we're going to dive into festivals, going in, into the future here. So, yeah, any feedback you have, if you want to share it on social media, like I said, I'm going to drop it in there. So I'm hoping people take the time to listen to it. And I hope the dissection of what we do with Firefly is kind of the voice of what everyone sensing a lot of frustration from that community, to be honest with you. There are some that were happy about it, but overall I'd say it was a majority, about 75% of the comments I
saw were not happy
with the lineup. And to be fair, I do get it. So yeah, Firefly, for those that don't know, AEG actually bought it from Red Frog. AEG actually owns Coachella. Red Frog, I know, is still going to be involved. I believe they even said with the booking. I could be wrong on that. So if I'm spewing nonsense, you guys can be sure to
light
me up on that. But from what I was reading on the forums, that's what I was gathering from it. But I will say the changes are a little concerning. So the reason I think me and you loved that festival as much as we did the first 2 years we were there, first of all, we're biased because it was the first one we ever went to.
Yeah, it's always special for us.
That first year's lineup, we went 2 years ago, and the headliner list between Muse, 21 Pilots, Chance the Rapper, The Weeknd, Bob Dylan, all being there.
Unreal.
There's a reason we traveled across the country. For those of you that don't know, we're doing this podcast out of Minnesota. So, I mean, the fact that we're traveling all the way out to Dover, Delaware to go see a show, it has to be pretty damn special.
The furthest I went was Chicago, and that's drivable.
Yeah.
Delaware is not drivable. If you want it to be, then, all praise to you. But
yeah, over 24 hours. But I will say it had to be a very special lineup for us to, pack. We had it was on the bucket list to go on a plane and go somewhere to see a show.
Yeah, for sure.
And, I mean, this festival managed to string together two straight lineups that made us do it.
Yeah.
So
it really did.
It's near and dear to our heart, but I think the thing we liked the most about it was, first of all, it gave us the festival feel. The camping aspect of it was really nice. And that was something we really enjoyed and we tinkered with and we made it perfect. We glamour camped the second year and it was the coolest thing ever.
Oh, the best.
But also the best part about camping was being able to get in there, I feel like, the day earlier. And that was something that was decided on this year, was to cut a day off from the actual, and to be honest with you, even those that attend that festival, most people arrive on Wednesday that are actually camping.
Yeah.
They have like a pre-party on Wednesday for the actual camping, the main camping sites that are in general pop. So those people are there Wednesday and they get, roughly four or five, lower set performers. But I mean, like, it's people that are usually replicating their sets, so they're going to play again at some point throughout the weekend.
Yeah. It's a nice little warm-up.
Really cool. Really cool. And like last year, I mean, the big grab was they put Bryce Vine on as a filler because it was supposed to be up. I think who was supposed to be there? Blackbird? Did Blackbird dip out or who was
it? Zahn.
Lil Zahn was a replacement.
Zahn.
Maybe it was Blackbird. I can't remember.
He deserves to be called Lil Zahn.
That's all right. He's a meme. He's gone at this point. Cheetos, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Cheetos?
A little Flamin' Hot Cheetos with the hospital.
Too much.
I would say taking that away from people, I felt like that was a really big portion of the displeasure. And I agree. Yeah. The Thursday, us getting in there Thursday, really gave us a feel where we got to walk around the campsite, meet all of our neighbors, kind of have that. And it's not to say you can't do that on Friday, but it's also one less day that you have where you bonded. I mean, our neighbors, like both
both sets of years were just awesome people. We wanted to get to know them. We wanted to, you know, sit around, have beers with them, like drink, just shoot the shit. And like, yeah. I mean, that's what you're there for. You're there to like make memories, meet people that you wouldn't normally meet, you know, meet people that have, you know, similar interests that you have.
Right.
So it was, I think that's a little disheartening to take that away, because that takes away, especially for those that are traveling a long distance.
It almost feels like it's rushed in a way. Yeah, like Thursday, you can settle back, you know, and you can have all these experiences, but all of a sudden you skip out a day and it's like, okay, we got to meet people, but we got to get in there because there's a bunch of people that you want to see. Where Thursday was so nice where you can be like, all right, these are our people. These are everyone that we want to hang out with or meet. And then we'll go see a couple cool bands. And then the real thing really happens from Friday on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that's kind of a miss right there, a disappointment there is not having that Thursday or Wednesday. And
No, I agree 100%. I feel like that's definitely, I think, one of the mistakes they made. And honestly, I think the second mistake they made was, I think, even remotely saying that there was things on the horizon of like emphasis of good, like a good lineup that, because I feel like they almost made it seem like they were bolstering the lineup more so. Like, there was going to be heavier hitters. And I feel like, you know, by saying they're cutting a day, like, they're going to, you know, increase, you know.
Overload the talent.
Yeah, overload the talent.
Make up for the day loss.
They were going to increase stuff around the festival, which is, you know, I'm not there yet, you know. So, like, I don't know that they haven't done that. And they, you know, it looked like the camping, for the most part, all the prices stayed consistent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not to say that they aren't, you know, making crazy good improvements on the inside of it. Maybe they are. And, you know, you wouldn't know that until you get there next year or they start advertising some of this stuff. Because, right. I mean, every year they seem to, you know, notch on an extra thing that they add and grow.
Yeah.
With.
So something.
Which I feel like every festival tries to, but I feel like Firefly is really good about doing that. But now I think for us in particular, we've kind of made the decision that I don't think we're going back. Pending the level of other lineups, I just don't, this isn't a big enough grab for me. And hey, man, I'm telling you this right now, for those of you that have managed to listen and have been to this festival before, music's subjective. So, I mean, we're definitely, I think, in that 60 to 75% of disgruntled people on the community chat that were just kind of like, we looked at the lineup. And me personally, I like it probably a little more than Michael does.
Yeah.
Colin, I know you looked at it too. What do you think of the lineup? Let's actually start breaking it down here. And we can go kind of dissect the lineup.
My first impression was, okay, so out of the 3 days, realistically, I probably only would want to go one day.
Okay.
I don't know if it would be Saturday because I just recently saw Travis Scott and I'm not really dying to go across the country and see him.
I hadn't seen him yet.
I'd go there. That'd be the first thing I'd go see on Saturday.
Okay.
Because then you get them.
Yeah, because what's the draw? What's the other draw on Saturday that's pulling you in?
Death Cab.
Yeah, Death Cab's good.
Brockhampton for sure. Yep. Saw them when they were at Fineline. We're at West 7th when it was like right when they were starting to get big. When it was like 250 people allowed in that show. Yep. That was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Brockhampton, like, oh, I'm speaking out of my ass here. I remember reading something. Didn't they like kick somebody out?
Yeah, their member Amir. He was accused of what most people are accused of nowadays. Violently touching a woman, and ever since then they signed RCA, so they're on like a major label. Their album came out this year, which it was good. It wasn't anywhere near as good as the previous albums, but they didn't take the slump that I thought they would. But yeah, I definitely want to see them and maybe a couple other people on Saturday. But I mean, Friday, I'm not really the biggest Panic of the Disco person. Tyler Crater, I would love to see. He's one of the one person I definitely want to see. The problem is that, like, outside of most of these big cards and maybe some of the undercards, I'm not – like, I would want to see Courtney Barnett. She's really good. And then it's kind of like – I guess it's just experience of going to a festival is that you're kind of just going. If you don't really know anyone there, you're just going to enjoy it,
that's part of the
– because, like, there's after you get to, like, the third or fourth line, it's just a big downward spiral of I have no idea
who these
people are.
We've had that with this festival in the past where – that's been my favorite thing is like
the best part.
Look over and you'll hear him like, oh shit, that kind of sounds good.
It's bands that you can really start at, like the next 4 to 5, 6 months or whatever, you can really start to learn who these bands are. And you're going to find bands where you're like, I've never heard of this band before. Oh my gosh, this might actually be like a top 10 band that I want to see. Every single year that we've been there, I've always found.
And I'm sure there's like a breakdown like it was at Lollapalooza where it's like when they show their lineup, they'll just like give out their biggest single. Then they'll basically like tailwind and just kind of show you should listen to this, and maybe if you like it kind of thing. Right. So, But yeah, see, and how my question is for you guys, how big is the festival itself? Like, is are the stages close enough or no?
Yeah, it's okay, so it's pretty darn spread out. It's not like in segmented areas. It's all they call it the Woodland, so it's all in one specific area. So
yeah.
There's two separate entrances. I think they call it just north and south. I think so. It's a north and south, and it has to do with the camping sites. So there's camping sites on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So you can enter on either side. One comes in by main stage. The other comes in closer to, like, I guess kind of the, like, where all the food is, really. There's a big Firefly sign, but, like, it's also more like, I don't know technically where it would even, what is that? The lawn stage? Is that where it is?
I think it's back over by the lawn stage. Yeah.
So you come back in over that way and they connect. I feel like, first of all, they spread out it really well.
How many big stages are there? Is there four or how many is there?
Main stage, Firefly main stage. They have backyard stage, which I feel like hosts a lot of the bigger sets.
Bigger ones.
Lawn's fairly big.
So it's like there's two,
there's a big EDM set too, which is called the,
that's how it works. Yeah.
Best place.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a rager the whole time. Yeah, I can imagine it. Yeah.
It's a cool place. That's honestly, like, we both definitely went to go see EDM, I think, out of more curiosity the first year, but then it became something of like, holy shit, we
have quite apparent. Yeah. Yeah.
This is pretty cool. This is pretty fun.
It's pretty interesting stuff.
So yeah, that I think that pavilion area in particular made me an EDM fan.
Yeah, just the lights and everything were just so cool in there. It really was.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because at Lollapalooza, there's Perry's is the EDM stage. I saw Martin Garrix. That was
great.
Fucking terrifying.
He
and then there's, I think, if I'm counting correctly, there's two, like, massive stages. One where Red Hot Chili Peppers was, and then obviously where Major Lazer was. So that's two big ones. And it's, like, spread out between, like, it's fucking huge. Like, it's way spread out, like probably not eight blocks, probably nine maybe.
Oh, wow.
And it's like across the pier in Chicago or whatever, so you have them across the water and everything. But my only problem with Lollapalooza was that if it was during the day, there's a stage where you have the Samsung stage, which is like kind of has the skyline of the city behind it, and then, like, say it's here, I have a stage that's like right here.
Mm-hmm.
So people, like, when Future was playing, all of his fans go to here, and then Mac Miller was here, and it was like all the fans were here. There's just a clusterfuck right here at the back.
And that's
which is kind of shitty, but I mean, I don't know. It at that point, they're just like, fuck it. We're just putting so many people out on the day that we're just going to take
there is such a. I think that was what we kind of noticed last year at a certain point, probably on Sunday when we were at Firefly, was there is such a thing as too good of a lineup.
Which
is feeling a little.
Well, you run that. We both know you run that problem when you go to a festival like this. You have to pick what you're going to decide and you have to settle on.
It is definitely, we noticed that. And that was the first time we ever dealt with that, because I think just out of luxury, they balanced it so well the first year we went to the point where, I mean, they were really putting a lot of. I mean, having Portugal the Man run through the Killers for me last year just really. I wanted to see both of them so bad. I left that Killer set early, and I was just like, why did I do that? Yeah. Like, they were so freaking good,
they were
man.
Really
like,
good.
And Portugal the Man's great too. And I wanted to see him, and I hadn't seen both, but I was just like, God, like, why did I have to choose? I feel like those are like two really heavy hitting alternative bands. Right. So, I mean, like, there is such a
thing. Wait, you left the Killers? Oh my God. Yeah, oh no. Nothing. I would never leave that set. I would go nowhere else. I would stand right there, put cement in my feet, and watch the whole entire show. But I get it. I totally understand.
Yeah, it's so hard to spread it out.
Because we didn't watch, like, when we went, we didn't watch the entire set for Martin Garrix. We probably watched like 45, like the hour and 20.
Mm-hmm.
And we left for the last like 30 minutes or 40 minutes. We went to go see Radiohead.
Yeah.
It's like across the street.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I was like, fuck off. I'm watching the Chili Peppers. Nothing's going to stop me.
Yeah.
So, it's just one of those things.
Got to stay.
Yeah. I'm definitely that way too. But all right, getting off of our little tangent and back to it. So, Colin, you said Saturday would be the day.
Saturday would be the day. For Firefly. Yeah, definitely.
Michael, have you really looked it over? Because I can go first if you want me to. But if you
I mean, there's not really the last 2 years, there's always been that day where it's like, oh my God.
I feel like Saturday normally is, like, I always feel like that's commonly the day. Because then if you can't get in Friday, then that's just the easier settling point. And then Sunday, more often than not, you're going to have a plane to catch unless you're going to stay until
Saturday's
Monday.
Saturday's yeah. undercard's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. No, like once you get past that third line, it just everything below it, there's a lot of names.
Yeah, Bishop Briggs is good. I've seen Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. He's really good.
Minnesota Zone Hippocampus.
Yeah, Hippocampus yep. is good.
Taylor Joy Bennett. Jordan is amazing. JPEG Mafia.
Snail Mail is good. Like there's a lot of stuff. Little Sims is good. There's some stuff on there that I like. And there's also a band called Let's Eat Grandma. So
whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
name interesting.
Year, yeah, so there you go.
Very interesting.
There's only one name.
That's your Rainbow Kitten surprise. Yeah.
That's fuck. I still can't get over that name.
Yeah, that's great. We played that real. And it's funny because actually I think the day for me, if we do end up choosing to go back, Sunday for me, I actually really like Sunday's lineup a lot.
There's
like,
still a lot of good people
in
that list.
I love Post Malone personally. I know that's yeah. not shared by everyone in this room, but Vampire Weekend I really like a lot. DJ Snake would be fun. Yep. Grizz would be a lot of fun.
Walk the Moon would be
Walk
good.
The Moon, to be honest, I wasn't a huge fan, but
they're overlaid.
Yeah, they really are. But AJR is amazing. Yeah. 2 Feet, we've talked about on this before. It's a dude, but he's freak. Or it might be two people, but all I know is. They're awesome.
Oh, Magic Giants.
Magic Giants back. Yeah. Which
Gucci Mane.
We've met them. They're yeah. great.
Gucci Mane, Three Lau.
Lovely the Band is like yeah. a band I've been telling people to look yeah. out for. They're great. So it's a deep undercard on Sunday, and I really like it. And I would really like that portion of the lineup. Friday just, for me, doesn't do enough for me. There's bands there that I like, but realistically, like I think Panic would be fun. Zed would be fun. AWOL Nation I've seen so many times yeah. now at this point that I just feel like I probably wouldn't even go see them.
Yeah.
X Ambassadors would be fun. Sir Sly would be fun. So, I mean, like, there is stuff here. It's just I don't know for us.
I feel like we're in a little bit different boat than the rest of this community that we're talking about, too, where we're having to travel on a plane.
Right. Is it yeah. worth
is
thousands
it worth,
of dollars?
Well, if you're, like, anywhere on the East Coast, it's not that yeah. far,
and
right. realistically.
I mean, we're still waiting for Bonnaroo's lineup to drop. They've been dropping yep. Reclus now for about a week.
Yeah.
They can get tracked any artist.
And I honestly,
any
we
artist.
Were planning on going there last year, but Firefly's lineup,
so, we had to. Yeah. But we're hopeful that Bonnaroo's kind of has a head and shoulders above everyone else lineup this year.
Cause I have a good feeling it's
I do
going
too.
To be, too.
I really do. So, yeah, I think that really, you know, covers most of Firefly. Like I said, there's a really good undercard lineup
good.
On here.
Yeah.
For me personally, the headliners just don't have enough clout. I think that's kind of a collective agreement, though,
yeah.
through most people. And to be honest with you, at a certain point, too, when you're having a music transition, you know, and changing of the guard where you've cycled through so many, you know, legacy acts or, like, acts that are just heavy hitters, they can only come back so many times
right.
before you have to start. And some of these guys will evolve into, you know, some of the heavy hitters, but
yeah.
it's just they might not seem like it right now. But, I mean, people that are saying Travis Scott's not a headliner, I've seen that comment posted a lot.
It's bullshit. He has the biggest album of the year. It's
yeah,
not even a debate.
Yeah.
He has the number one album. You
yeah,
cannot deny it.
Of how you feel about him, because I don't get his music either. I've been very adamant
telling
about
you.
That. I don't get it.
Psychedelic
but
trap rap.
You can't
you
deny
consider.
that dude is selling massive amounts of records.
Yeah,
so that's why he's on there
it's
for
like
those
headline.
Of you that are not
if you
that,
look,
you agree with it.
If to anyone who wants to argue this, if you look at his album sales from his second album to this album,
yeah.
it is like 8 times over.
Yeah.
It is not even a debate. There's no – he's outsold almost everyone this
and
year.
He's going to be
– outside either, of Ariana.
He is going to be for all of those that don't like it and are looking for a festival. He's going to be the festival whore like Eminem was last
yeah,
year.
Yeah,
that's going
sure.
to be who it is. So
and the problem with him that most people aren't expecting or most people don't know is that I personally think he's only – I'd rather see him indoors than outdoors just because the way he performs, he kind of – I wouldn't say he screams, but he's very energetic.
Well, I have a question for you about him too. Like how – you've seen his act now. How would that transit – would he bring – because doesn't he have –
well, how – what
like poster?
What's like the – what's like yeah. the massive – like what's your main stage? Like what's the amount
I mean,
of people that show
big
up?
Big enough to
like
handle
80,000?
Major shit, but like I don't know like how would he transition that like –
I think
is it conducive to bring it to an outdoor festival even? That's why
yeah,
I'm asking.
I think it is because he did Austin City Limits this year. He did Rolling Loud this year. He did
okay.
What else did he do this year? I can't think of. I think no, it wasn't Govball. Last year he did Govball.
No, yeah, Govball hasn't been announced.
And yeah, that's one place I want to go. But sidetracking. But no, he attracts anyone.
No.
Anyone will go to a show. any age group. I've seen kids there at the concert.
Yeah, how
like,
hyped it is. Like, I almost just want to see it based on spectacle. You know, the spectacle.
He puts on a show, dude. He puts on a show. That show that I went to, like, what, last Saturday or whatever it was? Hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Nonstop. Nonstop. And he played everything from his first mixtape, which was in 2012, to stuff now.
Yep.
Everything.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you... I understand. I understand why people don't like him. I get it. But if you're there and you're going by and you see a guy freaking out on stage, it's a good time, to say the least.
All right. So, I mean, I feel like that kind of answers all of our questions about Firefly. And we'll definitely circle back, you know, once more stuff is announced about all of these. We'll touch on everything. Because I know, like, there's some pre-party stuff. For example, like, the next one we're going to talk about, Hangout Music Festival, they're still waiting to announce. They're going to do a Thursday lineup, and I can actually go over some of the, you know, the big names they actually got for their Thursdays the last couple of years. But we'll talk about their lineup next. And theirs was kind of the first big mainstream one that dropped, I feel like. It was them and, like, Shaky Knees were the two that were kind of ahead of the curve for everybody.
Kind of gives you an idea as to what other big festivals are going to have. Because if these guys are being attracted, more or less, it's kind of, you know, they're going to be in those festival lineups, mm-hmm. more or less. Like, Travis Scott's going to be at every festival. I guarantee
100%.
It. The festival. So, yeah.
But, yeah, so Hangout, just as a kind of a precursor, their last two Thursday lineups, like their pre-party stuff, it's included, like, Fantagram, K-Flay, Migos, Lil Dicky. So, I mean, like, some fairly big names for, like, an actual pre-party. But I don't know, man, this lineup this year, I was pretty hopeful because this was our second choice.
Yeah, I liked it last year
a lot. And this one this year, this just really disappointed
me.
It's
like the heavy hitters again are just not quite what I personally am looking for. I like the undercard again, but a lot of undercard for me personally, I've seen a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of the headliners I haven't seen, but I know. Not necessarily want to go see.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm going to spend so much money on this kind of
stuff. Exactly.
I'm looking for like a big,
I feel like there's a big drop off after like the second or third line on their lineup.
There's some good stuff here. They're like sprinkle it in a little bit, but I mean, you got Bryce Vine down there.
Yeah, there's some fun names, man. Like Two Feet's here too. And that's because these are actually owned by the same company now. So that's kind of why I feel like.
Kind of starting to form a monopoly a little bit.
There is definitely some carryover, but yeah, I mean, like, for example, the way I described, like, some of the headliners, for example, I love the Lumineers, but I've seen them already, so that's not a huge draw for me anymore. Yeah. They're fun, but that's just not that big of a draw for me anymore. How do you even pronounce his name? Khalid.
You're right. Yeah.
That's another one. I don't understand why. Like, I get it. He's on every.
Yeah, it's just young. It's just young kids. It's like the whole mentality of young, free, and.
Got a nice voice, but like I don't understand the appeal for that. I'm probably in the minority on that one because I mean he's a headliner, so like I said, it's kind of like the Travis Scott bit where I don't get it, but clearly everyone else does. So, yeah. So that's not a drop for me. Vampire Weekend would be fun, but it's not enough for me to travel all the way down to Alabama. Kygo's another one that's I feel like going to be on for EDM.
Everyone's
for every single
yeah.
One. Cardi B, I would have fun at. I know I would, but it would be one of those where I want her to be supplementary to other stuff. So if I had like three that I was really excited about and then she was there, I'd be like, all right, I'll go see Cardi B. So it was like us with Lil Wayne last year, and then we were like super pleasantly surprised. Like,
super true.
We were like, holy fuck, he's like really fun.
That was a fun time.
Like, we had had a couple beers and we were like, holy shit, like Lil Wayne, I forgot how many bangers Lil Wayne has. Like,
yeah.
He has some clippers. So, yeah, I was pretty pumped about Lil Wayne. But, yeah, Cardi B, I feel like, would be in that same mentality. Because every time she comes on when I'm drinking, I'm like, Cardi B is okay. Like, oh, my Cardi B.
My only gripe with her is that I feel like it's going to be the same thing as seeing the Migos perform.
Yeah.
Is that she plays her song in the background and not just the beat. And she'll say, like, six words.
Yeah.
Slowly walk across, play, like, her five most famous songs.
Yeah.
It's almost like she's just there to get that money.
Yeah. Some would say that's exactly the case.
Get on out of here.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a fan, I get it. Like, it's just how it is.
I mean, to be fair, too, like, I've seen a couple rap shows now that we've gone through this. And Lil Wayne was probably – him and Kendrick were probably the two best that I've seen.
I still haven't seen him yet because I've been waiting to find, like, the right time, the right show that I want to see for him. But – Everything I've heard from him has been fantastic.
People were like really, it's funny too, because people were really disappointed with his set too at Firefly. Like when I was reading all the community boards,
they were really,
but he had been there already. And the big thing was he forgot that he had been there. So he said like,
first time at Firefly.
And I was like, that's freaking great. But yeah, that, so I think he got flack for that, but like realistically though, like he did cut his set a little short. So I understand the frustration there. But he was so fucking polished and good. And
it was.
Just like, it was.
Well trained.
Yeah. He was bumping it. And like, I was like, I like Kendrick, but like, I wouldn't say I'm like an avid fan. Like, I know his hits. Yeah. But like, yeah, every time he had a song I didn't know, I was like, Jesus God, this dude just fucking wails.
Pretty much, man.
So, yeah, I was pretty happy about that. But outside of him, and like, Wayne surprised me too with his quality. Because realistically,
I would have never guessed
he'd his comeback too. Like I thought he was like brain dead at this point too. So I just thought he'd be mailing in checks. But like outside of those, like everyone else we've ever seen at any of those shows just does the same shit. It's like you walk up there, you have your hype man. Like even Eminem did it. Like I was kind of disappointed. Like Eminem like had his hype man who was talking like maybe a third to like almost half of the time. I'm like, I'm here to see you, dude. I'm not here to see your fucking shitty hype man like talk and like sing with you. Like,
yeah, whole DJ thing. Yeah,
that's kind of the rap game, isn't it?
It is. It's a little. That. I think they all do it.
Yeah, pretty sure.
But
it kind of lowers it a little bit. But you know, still we see acts like that. It's so fun.
It's funny. I mean, like we saw it at T-Pain. Yeah, hey man, like T-Pain, same thing. But that was just comedy. Like it was great. Lil Dicky did the same thing. Like Lil Dicky's set, I was actually really disappointed in. It was like,
I don't recall Chance having a hype guy 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think he was one of the ones where it was just kind of all him.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. I feel like
I don't care to see Chance live.
Yeah.
He's good.
He plays the role of being the hype guy and he's all happy this and that, which people love, clearly. Like people think ass rap's the greatest thing in the world, and I want to look at them and say, get some fucking Q-tips, but that's that's just me. So
I do hear that a lot, though.
Yeah.
Well, dissect more of the Hangout lineup because, I mean, like, we talked to Undercard. Yeah, we went tangent on it a little bit.
I like but way back there, Grandson is really
good. Grandson's great.
I love Grandson.
Right next to him, Buddy, he's a really good artist.
Hangout,
out
same
of
thing.
LA.
Like, same exact thing as Firefly. I feel like this Undercard is actually really fucking loaded.
It's pretty good.
I mean, like, 1975 is good. Diplo's really fun. I've seen Hozier. He's fucking awesome.
Never
live.
Seen Hozier.
He's so good. His first album, to be honest, his new music that he just came out with, I was a little disappointed, especially with how long I had to wait for it. But his first
album.
It's like,
album, what, like 4 years?
Yeah,
5 years?
Some time,
yeah.
To do it. And I'm like, dude.
Because his song was so big.
Every musician,
yeah.
Take as long as you need.
Always.
Just don't crank out shit. And like, I wouldn't say it's shit, but like, I was still like, it's aight. But yeah, Grizz, really fun. Walk the Moon's on this one too. We've already talked about. We saw Jimmy Eat World last year. I don't. Yeah,
you don't like him.
I hate Jimmy Eat World. And it's one of those things where it's in my genre of music that I love, and there's no explanation for why I hate them, but I hate them. Like, I hate them.
Same thing with me with Eminem.
I hate them.
That's me with Eminem.
You don't like Eminem?
Yeah, he hates Eminem.
Nope.
Wow, not even his
own. Outside, well, okay, his old stuff, first album, maybe second album. After that, fuck no.
Eminem shows like his best album.
That's for another pod.
We'll talk.
I do need Eminem.
Well, everything after like Encore, though, I'm not that big of a fan of.
Yeah.
I like the Encore, too. Like, it was fine, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than that, though, I love his first three albums.
Hey, man, if you're a fan, you're a fan. It's simple as that. You're a fan. I get it. That's fine.
He's dead inside.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right. Continuing down before we
I just think it's kind of the
fight over Eminem.
Kind of think the Firefly.
The names that separate this one. You said Bryce Vine. I love him.
Yeah.
He was great last year. Jungle would be really fucking.
Jungle's incredible.
Alice in Wonderland. She's actually gonna be here with Dylan Francis.
She still weirds me out. Still weirds me out.
Yeah, I like Alice in Wonderland a lot. Sophie Tucker, I've always wanted to see. Sir Sly.
I think you're gonna see a lot of bands that are just undercard-wise.
Yeah.
You're gonna see a lot of
lineups. 2 Feet, lovely the band. Like I said, same thing as the last. Two Friends played the pre-party last year at Firefly.
Oh yeah,
And they got pretty good reviews from that. But yeah, like I said, and there's probably stuff on here too that I'd like that I haven't listened to. But
It's another. I feel like we're gonna see it a lot this year, just in general. It's gonna be a lot of undercard that you like.
Yeah.
Probably gonna be a little disappointed with headliners.
Suck it up with
unless
headliners.
You get a legacy act that you want. I feel like it's probably gonna be the case for most. So I mean, like, I just feel like that's how it's gonna go most of this year. So I don't know. You guys have anything else to follow up with Hangout or?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah. Although the one thing I guess about Hangout is I'd like to go there just for like. The venue part of it. It looks super cool.
Yeah. And we had two friends that did it. Yeah. So, I mean, and they said it was just fun as hell.
It looks fun.
Yeah. I mean, Gulf Shores, Alabama, I think a lot of people are just like,
thrown off by that. Yeah, of course.
It's closer to Florida than it is, like, you know, than you would think. So it's like right on the coast, right on the ocean. Yeah. Like, it's hard to beat. And I'm telling you this right now, from a planning standpoint, if you're traveling a ways, it is fucking inexpensive. Like,
yeah.
For traveling across. Yeah. Because they are begging people to come down there. It's a tourist attraction. Like, they probably don't have a whole lot of stuff going on down there outside of that festival. Like, outside of, you know, like, people coming out of the ocean.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that right now. We are looking at prices. That's almost what made us decide to go down there was it was cheap as hell. Yeah.
Love
flight was like half the cost.
I can believe it. Definitely can believe it.
Yeah. So that's that was a big draw, but. Let's take the time now. We actually touched on it before we did the Hangout Festival, but Shake and Ease is the other big mainstream kind of alternative festival.
Now, these headliners, oh my.
There's some names.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's different. And I think that's really what people are asking for is just like, give us someone that, you know, is really, really popular, that's unique, that we haven't had before. And this one is really out of the box and different. I like how all across the board they are. Tame Impala, Beck,
one of my
Cage the Elephant, and Incubus. Like,
oh, that's great.
That is, I'd say for me personally, three out of the four of those. I've never been a big Beck guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Beck's got, it's just he's changed so much of his sound.
That's the thing. His older stuff I like.
Yeah, get it if you go there, even though you'll probably get more of his pop stuff now. But I say this now, there's two people in that second line that you should definitely see that I've seen.
Can I guess?
Foles is fucking incredible.
So good live. Oh,
unreal.
My God.
Saw him in Lollapalooza. Yeah, go ahead.
Is it Gary Clark Jr.?
No, it's not. Okay. It's Interpol. Okay. Interpol is a very good group. Yeah. Very good group. Kind of older stuff.
I've seen Gary Clark Jr. He's funnish. Like, he's good. I shouldn't say fun. He's just talented as hell.
No.
You're just like, holy God. Like, he's so good. Like,
and the best part about Foles is, one, I thought they were going to break up, which would have pissed me off because they're
so
truly. And so, more or less, you're getting an album from them next year probably. But, them live, if you ever listen to their music, there's zero separation in how they sound live at all. Can't remember the guy's name, their lead singer, the short dude with the curly hair. He fucking wails, dude. I don't even know how to describe it.
He's so emotionally into it. It's
incredible. Unreal.
Well, because I think that is worth, and well, I think we're going to kind of handpick throughout the show just some stuff that people need to pay attention to and listen to. So we'll add them to the end of the show list for
chuck it in the playlist.
Chuck it into the playlist for everybody.
Snake Oil, great song.
There you go.
Let's do that and play a couple for some people. I agree with most of what you guys said there. I like Foles a lot too. Gary Clark Jr. for me is kind of a big draw. I've heard a lot of people talk about this person, but I've never heard a single song. I've never taken the time to. But Father John,
are you shitting me? You've never heard of him?
Incredible. I know who he is, but incredible. I've never listened to a song.
Incredible. His album that came out this year is more of the singer-songwriter kind of genre where it's more spoken word than sound. And his album last year, Pure Comedy, very good.
Yep. If you just go to his most popular songs, I truly think you'll like him.
Okay.
Very good. He's a very passionate guy.
Take time to do it.
To say the least.
The first time I ever saw was on Master of None, Aziz Ansari.
Yeah,
he goes to...
No.
A Father John Misty show in one of the episodes. So, that's kind of funny. But, yeah, Tash Sultana I like a lot. We've seen Group Love. They were
Group
really
Love's
good.
Very good.
Struts I've seen a couple times. They're really fun. I have a fun
Danny
fact.
Warhol's. Ooh.
I have a fun fact for a band on here that people probably have not heard of. So, the band Calpurnia. I don't know if anyone's familiar with them. Probably not.
Uh-uh.
Relatively newer. So, in that band is Mike from Stranger Things.
No way.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
And
I remember watching a video for them. They were shopping for Amoeba.
They are really good.
Actually?
Really good. Wow. Like, yeah. So
I always thought the kid was kind of a prick, but that's just my opinion.
But we'll drop a song from them too at the end of the show, because they have a, I don't know if they wrote any of their own original music when I checked them out. They might have been doing covers exclusively, just thinking. But we'll drop something in there because they, their singer's fantastic. And I don't remember what Mike does personally in the band.
He plays the plays bass.
His name's actually Finn Wolfhard. Yeah. Is the actual kid's name. But I can't remember what he does. I want to say he's on either guitar or bass. But
he doesn't sing. I know that.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a fun fact for you. So if you want to go fanboy or girl on Mike from Stranger Things, you can go to Shaky Knees and go to Calpurnia set and just ask where 11 is, or just throw Eggo waffles on stage.
That's right.
There you go.
Waffles.
One of the two. So yeah, I mean, this one's interesting. I will say for me personally, this is one I'd really have to like listen.
Looking, you have to listen to a lot more people to convince yourself.
Really deep undercard that I do not know a lot about.
I really think it flips from everything else that we've talked about. I think it's a hot, really good headlining crew.
Yep.
The undercard is one of the things where you have to really listen to just to feel it out, because I don't know a whole lot.
Like, there's a couple I've heard of. Like, your sister actually called in and introduced me to Low Cut Connie. So I
never heard of it.
Soccer Mommy?
Soccer Mommy.
Soccer Mommy had a good album this year.
Will Dorado.
No, that's who it was. That's definitely who it is. No, because I definitely have it in my library. I'm just trying to remember if that's the name of the album or if it's the...
Never heard of him. Soccer Mommy.
Yeah, Soccer Mommy. She has a song called Your Dog. It's very good.
I've heard of, like, Sloth Thrust has popped up on Spotify's like alternative playlist a lot. So, I mean, like, there's some bands in here that, it, like, I feel like if I took the time to listen to, I'd probably like. So, this one's interesting, and I actually, it's a little deeper than I
thought it was.
I don't know how, but they found me.
Yeah, that's, I just read that now, too, and that's a kind of a thick name there. Yeah, jeez.
But, yeah, Shaky Knees is a little deeper than I had anticipated. So, that's good to know, because I feel like maybe, and where did we actually say, I didn't even take the time to see where this one is. It's in Atlanta, so in Central Park in Atlanta from May 3rd to the 5th. So
yeah, I really think it'd be worth it just to see Tame Impala and Cage the Elephant. Those two are awesome.
Dude, Tame Impala would just be phenomenal live. Could not imagine.
He's so trippy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that'd be good. But yeah, so the next one I had listed, let me see.
We got 14 minutes, so we better keep this.
All right, we'll keep this one. Well, yeah, let's do this then. We'll do the one that I literally just wanted to bring up just to talk more about how this this one in particular, I guess, it's a brand new one. I think you pronounce it because they have the same one in San Diego. It's called Kaboo. And it's becoming kind of like a conglomerate where they have a bunch of them. But I know the San Diego one was the main one that I know of. There's one in Texas now. This is the first year of the Cayman one. And I'm just saying for a future reference, the lineup this year is a little weak in my own opinion. It's all over the place too. It's actually pretty interesting. Some of the people they
play. It really is.
But I will say if they pull out a good lineup ever in this, going to the Cayman Islands for a show would be cool.
Incredible.
But yeah. I like the
band. This group, wow, this is not a, it's this weird. Is not a good set. So this is not a good set.
Yeah
it's like
Chainsmokers. Fucking kidding me? Floor Friday. Okay, wow. Chainsmokers, Duran Duran.
You want to know, Adam, are Jason, you Adam, if you're Adam listening would to this,
go to this completely.
Adam would go to this show, and he's going to lobby for us to go to this show this year. Because it's literally
Jason Derulo.
Florida, Jason Derulo. I'm
Sean
sure
fucking
hero.
Paul.
Sean
Paul. What the fuck, man?
Oh, don't talk shit about
Awesome. Counting Crows and back in the 80s and 90s again.
Shaggy. Oh my.
Magic. You can listen to the one song that Magic had. Oh my gosh.
How do you pair a lineup with Duran Duran and Zed?
Everybody's
How do you pair Duran Duran and Sean Paul? And then you have a comedy segment with David fucking Spade.
Everybody's favorite funny lady, Wanda Sykes.
Oh
my God. Yeah, I'd rather just watch her in Curb instead. My God.
Yeah, it's interesting. I like when, you know, there's a different emphasis on not just the music, but they like try to introduce.
It's more like a social event at that point.
Yeah. There's other ones that do that too. I mean, like we've talked about South by Southwest where they do like, you know, technology.
That is everything. Like,
So it's
a, give me a better lineup and I'll go.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Right. That would be a cool spot. So I thought touching on that one too, just to tell people, I mean, that's literally in a month too. So I'm assuming I doubt there's probably even tickets.
I feel like this is the equivalent to all those shitty Twitter memes where they give you a bunch of players and they'll give you like the amount of money you have. And they say you have this much money to make a lineup and then you put it in. And then someone's a dumbass and picked all the $1 people.
Yeah.
This is all the $1 people outside of the Chainsmokers.
Yeah.
Because Chainsmokers are huge still.
They are so big. Yeah.
even though they fucking suck.
Just out of sheer curiosity, I'm looking up what a seat or what a pass cost to the Cayman one, because
I can see it'd be pretty expensive.
I mean, I'd assume, because don't even say it.
A Sash 2 days, $400. Granted, it's in a month. It's in a month, but still,
it's probably like the lowest.
That's still like, dear God. Like, do you know how much it's going to cost me to get down to Cayman Islands?
Yeah, right.
Come on, man.
Take it easy.
Like, Jesus. So yeah, that you're gonna see a lot of rich kids at that one. Yeah. Jesus. But all right, well, let's take a short break and then we'll touch on. I think all we have left really is the rock. We have an EDM and a couple rock ones to touch on.
We got to talk about Buku because I looked at a lot.
Oh yeah, and the Buku. Like, yeah, and Buku. So the Buku.
We'll be back.
We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is also sponsored by Anchor. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When Brian and I were trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do we record an episode? How are we going to get the show onto Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other places people like to listen? How do we even make money from this podcast? The answer to every one of those questions is really simple, and it was Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors too, so you can get paid to podcast. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, just like we're hoping to do, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor.
All right, guys, welcome back. And a special thank you again to our sponsors for our first ever episode that is sponsored through Anchor. So it's a pretty cool thing. But let's jump right back into festivals. And I know we wanted to touch on the Buka. Or Buka.
Buka.
The
Buka
Festival, which is in New Orleans, which is a pretty cool draw.
Oh, that's a cool place.
March 22nd, 23rd of this upcoming year. And Colin, if you want to break down the lineups.
Yeah.
Stuff that you like off of it.
Going through it, there's a big variety of genres. I mean, there's mostly, there's a lot of hip hop in here. There's, a good mix of some R&B, kind of some EDM here and there. I think the ones I want to see the most, I've already seen Migos. I don't really care to see them. SZA would be really good to see. I don't know if you're a fan or not. Did I have the wrong lineup? Yeah. I have 2018. Shit!
Oh, Colin!
All right, no, go ahead. You'll keep going. I'll look this up. Because
fuck
it. Dude, it says the link says 2019. This is a meme. My God.
Our sponsors just pulled. Sponsors.
All right, Brian, we'll lead the way while I navigate through the internet. Jesus H. Well, from what I am imagining, last year's lineup was probably better than this year's.
Yeah, I would say probably is. It's still pretty good. I was a little surprised. That's why I was a little, it's good, but I was a little surprised you were like saying like, yeah.
Yeah, there's so, I'm not going to stop talking about this 2018 lineup. There's a lot of good names in here. But, I guess we'll have to hold it off because Brian was talking about 2019.
That was a good lineup, damn.
Yeah. Well,
Bring it up. We can talk about last year's Buka.
Oh.
The Buka.
No, we'll go to 2019.
Compare and contrast to this year. Because this year they have, it's Friday and Saturday. It looks like they have Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, A$AP Rocky.
A$AP Rocky. Dogblood, which actually it says underneath is Skrillex.
It's probably like a group. So it's Skrillex and Boys Noize. Yeah.
Which is interesting. Lewis the Child, Grizz.
Suicide Boys, Playboi Carti, Toro.
LMA is kind of a big deal now.
Toro Moi, Gunna, he's big this year. Death Grips is huge if you like that.
Mayday Parade's randomly there. Yeah,
Denzel Curry is like ridiculous live.
Denzel Curry actually a lot.
He had a good album this year, by the way, in case anyone listened to it. JID's there. Oliver Tree. I did not know who Oliver Tree was, and then I randomly heard a song of his this weekend. Yeah. He's a weird fucking dude, and he's really good. Like, really good.
Nice.
So, and I'm curious, like, what else? That's interesting. So, it says underneath, they have a live graffiti gallery.
Cool.
I don't know what repping New Orleans means, but I don't know if that's just, like, stuff specific, whether it's, food or anything else in New Orleans base.
True, yeah.
But they also, on the very, very bottom, it says they have VIP-only sets, which is kind of
interesting. It's probably, like, after-party stuff that's
That's different. It's nobody that I'm aware of, but that's still kind of cool.
All right, so in comparison to last year, yes, last year's lineup is way fucking better. It's not even close.
But let's be honest, before you even go into it, that's true, I feel like, on every lineup that's come out so far.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah, plus I think more or less all the people that came out last year, all their music, I don't know, like some people's music wasn't out at this point. Because that's March 7th, that's my birthday. So, yeah, no. I don't know. Either way, I would have wanted to see more of this group of people than what's on there
this year. List off some of the stuff that was on the 2018 lineup.
2018 that I would want to see would be Migos, SZA, MGMT, Lil Uzi Vert, Isaiah Rashad for sure. I would definitely want to see Sylvie and Esso, Flatbush Zombies. Muramasa's okay. It's kind of a hybrid like hip-hop. EDM kind of thing.
Yeah, I've seen them on a couple lineups.
Snake Hips would be good because they're Snake live. Snake
Hips is fun, dude.
Rich the Kid, I feel like, would not be good live because he's like a trap rapper that only talks about the regular three things, which is just boring. Ski Mask is super hype, so that would probably be good. Hippie Sabotage would probably be pretty good live.
All right.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm assuming.
I was underwhelmed.
This is just my assumption.
It was very underwhelming.
Yeah, I was very
underwhelmed.
They remembers on there, too. They're good rock.
Bailey's favorite rapper, Lil Xan. He's there. Yeah.
Bringing my Flamin' Hots.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's a lot of people in here I would have wanted to see this year. I think there's maybe like five, probably.
I just don't know enough.
This, yeah,
I don't care to see Lana Del Rey. I like her music, at least I used to. But, yeah, A$AP Rocky, I'd see live.
I didn't realize Kevin Gates is big enough to be a headliner now, too.
Yeah, he's got a big enough following.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
I like Kevin Gates, actually.
When you make that fucking two phone song, everyone's going to love you.
Yeah.
You'd say this is mostly like an EDM rap kind of. It looked like on
Mostly
with Mayday Parade.
Mostly.
Apparently, there's one emo band required each year because
a day to remember. Was
yeah, that's true. Yeah, like,
what? That's so random.
Yeah, that's probably pretty fair. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting lineup this year, to say the least.
It could be fun. I mean, the city.
I think the idea of New the Orleans city itself would make a difference. Show. Yeah.
Is there another one in New Orleans?
I have no idea.
I thought so.
I thought they had like a voodoo one called like
Voodoo or something. Voodoo Festival. I think it's like later on in the year.
Yeah.
And this one's like 2 months or 2 weeks later compared to last year.
Yeah.
I've noticed that a lot too. Like Firefly moved dates.
Bonnaroo moved their dates.
Bonnaroo moved up.
Like, did Hangout move? I don't remember her Hangout moved either.
Interesting.
Yeah, I feel like there's some shuffling around, but. All right. Well,
talking about emo bands, let's make the
full.
Let's make the
full transition into hard rock.
This is my spot.
Fuck me! I would not go to these concerts.
These would be fun, man. This is this is where I started my musical preference, was in the hard rock category. Thank you, Guitar Hero.
Yeah, seriously, thank you, Guitar Hero.
But. Yeah, so the first one we'll talk about is the lesser of the two, but still good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And this is Rockville.
Rockville
in Metropolitan Park in Jacksonville, Florida. Fred Durst is running the whole thing, and Limp Bizkit comes out and slaps you in the face before you come inside.
My fucking God.
Take the time in between Friday and Saturday to shop at one of our various strip
malls. Papa Roach, man. Jeez.
Papa Roach sucks.
Yeah, 100%. But all right, let's break down this lineup because they have May 3rd, 4th, and 5th, 2019 in Jacksonville. I hear it's lovely in May.
Lovely in May in Jacksonville.
Bunch of just trash. People. Yeah.
Blank average.
Jacksonville's a weird place for the show. So
Blake Bortles, shit quarterback, Jacksonville.
Negative notch for the location, but the lineup's solid. So, God, I can only imagine the people that would be at the show.
Oh, I can see it now.
Dear God. But, all right, so headliners are Korn, Rob Zombie, and Tool from Friday, Korn Saturday, Sunday.
So good live. Tool's the best live.
Yeah.
You'll never see a better band live than Tool.
Right now. And Rob Zombie would be creepy as fuck, but he'd probably be good.
Shinedown's better, though. That's better.
Shinedown's fun. So let's break it down. Friday. I don't know who the Prodigy is. You know who the Prodigy is?
I don't know who that is.
Evanescence.
That's a Blast from the Past.
Chevelle's good as fuck.
Very good.
I've seen Killswitch Engage. They used to be one of my favorites, but then they switched lead singers. Now I don't give a fuck about them. Flogging Molly. Tom Morello would be funny.
Tom Morello would be good live.
Very fun.
That's really, outside of like lower key stuff, that's about all I know for Friday.
Saturday, you mentioned Shinedown.
What the fuck? Yellow Wolves at this concert?
Yeah. Yellow Wolf is always on.
What the hell?
Rock lineups. I don't understand it.
It's like he's an outcast in the hip-hop community.
Yeah.
Basically.
Like a day to remember in the last Buka festival?
Buka. Judas Priest, The Cult, Skillet. Yeah, we mentioned Yellow Wolf.
Saturday kind of sucks. Actually.
Saturday's kind
of. Bad Flowers.
I'd go see Shinedown. That's pretty much. And yeah, Shinedown. Skillet would be all right too, but other than that, it'd be meh. Sunday's a little stronger. Tool, Incubus, Bring Me the Horizon.
Very who cool. Actually just like is gonna have maybe potentially a Grammy winning song of the
Mantra.
Year.
Mantra. Great song.
You think that's the one in Song of the Year?
For rock. Maybe.
Okay, I was gonna say you're smoking fucking crack. You think that's gonna happen.
Which nobody cares about.
For rock,
it might actually.
Yeah, probably.
Which kind of surprised me that they actually got like. Because a lot of times bands like that, like they kind of went more all of a sudden like into the mainstream.
They used to be like super deathcore.
Yeah, they did. Very strange.
Very mainstream.
I like Bring Me the Horizon.
Yeah, me too.
Papa Roach, who I haven't listened since the Bicentennial.
Yep.
But
pretty much everybody else.
Yeah. Last Resort, still a song, I guess.
Yeah. Fever 333 is really good.
Yeah, they have some good. I'm kind of joking. Papa Roach, like every now and again, like they'll put out something that I don't mind.
Yeah.
The Struts are really fucking fun.
Yep.
Glorious Sons were like my secret, like random find at Firefly last year, and then we saw them in front of the Struts at First Ave last year. They are so good.
They are.
They're gonna be a big deal. And then Grandson's there too, which I
Sunday would be a fun.
Youngblood's there too. He's also good. But yeah, Sunday would be a good day.
Sunday and Friday, I think, are Korn's really fun. I don't even if they're getting old. And they are old now. But they still they bang. They bang hard.
They definitely do.
But Tool, I would definitely recommend if you've never seen Tool before. That's almost a reason to go just as it is because they are amazing live.
So, yeah, we have that, and now we'll switch over to the other Rock Fest, which is in Columbus, Ohio, and it is
substantially better.
Yeah, I agree.
So you get Foo Fighters, System of a Down, and Disturbed. All three are major heavy hitters.
System of a Down would be so much fun.
Never seen them live. That
so
huge,
much fun.
Huge bucket list.
Yeah, that would be fun. So I've seen Disturbed like three times.
Yeah, they're my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very good. Although I
will say I felt they got progressively worse each time I saw them. But that's
my, very true, Brian. Yeah, it's very
that's
true.
My own personal.
It's some kind of weird throat issue back in the day.
Foo Fighters I've never seen. Would like to.
They're very good live.
It's not like surprising you haven't seen the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, my parents
bought
tickets to it. And,
fucking like, bastards.
I think
Steve.
It was for their anniversary, so I can't.
Sorry, Joyce.
Be too angry about
good stuff.
It's kind of like. The hell?
Yeah,
that is. What? Action Bronson? Hell yeah, I'm going to this thing for sure. Hell yeah. You guys can go do your thing. I'll just sit around and wait for that one show and then fucking leave.
Worth all the money.
Waste money.
Wow, what a name. Pussy Riot.
Riot, yeah.
That's interesting.
Bring Me the Horizons at this one too. Prodigy again. Ghost
is really good.
Yeah, they're good. Joan Jett's here.
I
didn't know she's still alive.
No
so good for her.
Me either.
Hailstorm, Lamb of God, Chevelle. Lamb of God show would be like I'd be terrified.
I just don't understand how like both of these shows have like a distinctive hip hop act.
Yeah.
How the hell are they gonna fit in this crowd?
I don't know. It's strange.
I would love to see how.
Action Bronson raps about cooking food when he's baked and having sex with disgusting women and saying disgusting things.
To be fair, the demographic, I feel like.
That sounds about right for the demographic.
That just throws me off. That's just weird.
It is weird.
But yeah.
Love Action Bronson.
After Action Bronson, you got the Struts, Killswitch, Engage, which if they brought Howard back, I'd be super pumped about that.
Yeah.
Parkway Drive.
Awesome.
Who else we got? Tom Morello's on this, too. You mentioned Pussy Riot. Glorious Sun's on this, too. So they have about the same, like, deep undercard, but I just feel like they have better headliners by far.
Yeah.
This is a pretty interesting one, especially being in Columbus. Then they also have comedy here, too, where they have Andrew Dice Clay.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Pauly Shore is fucking there.
Pauly.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the lineup where they switched it from Rock on the Range, I believe, right? So they got rid of that.
That sounds right. I'm wondering if, like, even just the animation looks the same as Rockville. I wonder if it's owned by the same company.
I think, because they have, you know, the loudest month of the year. So
yeah, this looks
like
exactly
four or five
the same.
Big tours like that. Where
it says Danny Wimmer. I think that was the same name that owns it. So, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
This one is the one that I would go to over the other one.
Oh, so this is actually inside of a stadium. That's interesting.
Interesting.
Which one? Where's Mapfree?
I'll give it a good old Google search.
Columbus, Ohio. Soccer?
Columbus Crew Stadium.
I don't know if that is. Is it the Crew Stadium?
Mapfree Stadium, previously known as Columbus Crew Stadium, is a soccer-specific stadium in Columbus, Ohio, United States.
Well, they changed the name. Interesting. I did not know that.
Okay. Well, now you know.
Now you know. And knowing's half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
All right. So that closes out the rock portion. And the last one we'll bring up, and to be honest, it's kind of pointless to even bring up because it's sold out already.
Oh, really?
Wow. Granted, they might do overflow tickets because I feel like with how fast it did, they probably will. But Electric Forest is the biggest EDM festival in the country.
I think it's the biggest festival list I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's
huge. I don't know because they put it in small font or what it is, but my God.
Yeah, there's. I mean, they always pull in some big names.
Oh, okay. Well, the picture I'm looking at is both weekends. So that makes sense. That's a lot of names. Oh, yeah. That's a lot of names. Holy smokes. Yeah, I probably would say I know six. Out of probably 80. I mean, not really. It's just that's the thing with EDM festivals, that the problem with it more often than not for me is I know most of these names, but it's you only get like a single or two out of them. That's the way it works at EDM, is that more often than not, you're not going to get an album. You're just going to hear random songs.
Right.
So unless you're really invested to them, you're not going to know their full discography. There's no way.
You're always going to have String Cheese Incident there. That's a staple that I've been told is always there. They're just kind of like, it's kind of how White Panda was for Firefly.
Sure.
For the longest time. Mm-hmm. So they're always there. But then on top of that, you're going to have, as your headliners, Odessa, Kygo, Bass Nectar, and Zed's Dead. So the headliners, that's pretty fucking solid. Then on top of that, then your undercard, you're going to have Alice in Wonderland, Bob Moses, great name in Black Tiger Sex Machine.
Sex Machine.
Gorgon City, who's going to be on a lot of lineups this go-around. Hippie Sabotage is there as well. And then I thought I saw some actual alternative names. Let me see if I can find them throughout here.
Man, Odessa is so good.
Yeah, live. They're really good.
I haven't seen a better EDM band. If you want to call them EDM, I think you can.
Yeah.
They are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I've never seen Bass Nectar. I think that would be a fun show.
Bass Nectar, yep. Bass Nectar would be fun.
I feel like it's one of those shows where, like, if you know some really good headliners, everything else just kind of comes into play, and you're just kind of there to either learn about it or just kind of feel it out before you get to the big names.
It's actually incredible that T-Pain has actually made enough of a living to just go on random festival tours and perform.
Yeah,
seriously. He kind of made a comeback. Like, he put out music,
this year.
That actually, like, they made it onto his top five on Spotify too, which is saying something because like that with some of the, he actually had a lot of hits back in the
Pigeons
day.
Playing Ping Pong. What a name.
They were at Firefly last year and I really like that name. I didn't see him, but that was
a great name.
Great name. That's all I got for that. All
right. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thanks.
That closes out the first line for me. I mean, Colin, did you have any others that you wanted to touch on? Otherwise, we can just start going through our list of some bands that we feel like people should know, and we can throw a playlist out for.
Yeah, I'd say let's go through that, and we'll just go through songs, and we'll throw it on the playlist, I guess. That'd be the easier way of doing it, I think.
Yeah, let's do it. So you got anything listed, or do you want me to?
Yeah, Oliver Tree. That's the first thing. I heard this the other day. The song is called Hurt, and I first heard it because I watched the video, and the video is probably one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. It's up there. It's pretty odd. Plus, the guy has just the most iconic haircut. If you want to take a look at that, look at that album.
Whoa.
Yeah. Talking about a bowl cut, it's more than a bowl cut. It is a lifestyle and a bowl cut and the same thing.
It's a lifestyle.
So, yeah, that was truly insane. I was blown away by that. And then the other thing I would think is worth mentioning would be, oddly enough, it's this Chance Rapper song that came out.
Huh. Wait, you came out with a new one?
Yeah, it came out with two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it came out probably 2 weeks ago. Oh. It's called The Man Who Has Everything. It's kind of more slow, somber. It's just a different sound for once. So I was intrigued by that. And I think that's probably it. The only thing else I could probably recommend is trying to shameless self-plug here. Look up my name on Spotify or Apple Music and go through my playlist I've made for the best of 2018. It It's mostly all hip hop. If you don't like it, you don't. If you do, you do. It is one playlist I have is kind of all of my favorite albums of the year with kind of a max of about six songs, a minimum about two of three, I think, if worth mentioning at least. And then I have another one that's just my top 100 songs. So, yeah, that's probably all I got, really. There's not much that I haven't really been listening to. I've kind of been on a podcast binge a little bit. And if not, I've been playing those playlists because then it kind of gives me a refresher of the year.
Okay.
So,
yeah, Michael, do you have anything to share? Do you want me to
dive
into mine?
One thing that I really like, this Muse came out with a new album earlier this year, and it's just absolutely about like fantastic. A
couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, we talked about that yeah. for a while.
Absolutely.
Wait a second. I was going to be pissed at myself if I didn't mention this. Did you guys know that the one and only Mr. King Toxic himself, Ninja, came out with a fucking album?
I listened to it. It's trash.
It is absolutely so bad. And when I say it is so bad, I'm going to get really passionate about this because I listened to it. Because I was like, you know what? Fuck it. You're going to do it. You're going to have enough of a take to have, like, to talk about it. It is so fucking bad. I think the thing I know is that there's one is no way that he had that much of a hand in making the music.
No.
And two, the first song where he has like this monotone voice of whatever he says, like it's time to win, whatever the hell it is. It is the most cringe shit I've ever heard. I wish I had like a hazmat suit on when I was listening to it. It was so bad. And the thing that's crazy is that since he's that big, he has some big-ass named artists on there. He has Tiesto on there. Of course, Dylan Francis, Marshmello. Dude, it was – it's not good.
Wow.
It's just not.
With all those names, you're like, oh, my gosh, I got to hear more of this.
And it's just now I just don't know if I can even hear it. Yeah, the song was called Game Time. That's the first song.
Cool.
Game Time with Three Lao. Yeah, so some of the artists he has on here
it's so fucking stupid.
That are like, notable names.
I get it almost reminds me, there's an old Simpsons bit where Bart is really famous because he goes on the Krusty the Clown show as a fill-in, and he accidentally knocks the set down, and then he just turns to the camera and goes, I didn't do it. And then he becomes like the most popular part of the show, so Krusty markets the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Overly markets him, and then it gets to the point where he starts doing his own like music parodies and stuff where he's just the whole
just
music
sticking around
him over beats going, I didn't do it. That's literally what I feel like that is with Ninja. It's just like the biggest money grab maybe in the history of money.
And you know the worst part is he has a song called Tilted Towers.
Yeah, it is.
That's the worst part. And also it's just I really do say this, that if this somehow got on the radio and he started getting radio play, I think I actually would fucking lose my mind. At that point, that would be the ultimate cash grab, and it would also be more or less kind of like a Gronk spike on top of what he's already making.
Yeah,
the Gronk spike.
I was blown away when I heard that it was an album. And I listened to it, and I'm going to say, I was pretty fucking mad I listened to it.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. Like, I don't really have too much more to say.
No, there's really nothing bad.
I'm going to try to listen to it.
Yeah, please, everyone listen to this. Please do not listen to it. Don't give him any streaming numbers, please. I fucking hate him.
Call it hate. Him,
I despise
dude.
Him.
That's right.
Can't stand him.
Talk our esports podcast
like
down the line. But all right, so for mine, I had already mentioned them, but it's just kind of a little gem. But the band Calpurnia, that's Mike from Stranger Things band, Finn Wolfhard's band. They have a song called "Rail Runs Over" that we'll play for you guys. That I actually think you'll really like. They're kind of like punk rocky. They remind me of like the Ramones almost, like kind of like their style. They kind of have that like kind of grungy, like nice, like 80s, like rock that's kind of missing. I feel like in the tapestry of music right now. So it's really good, like good guitar, nice voice. Like I like it. So I'm intrigued to see where they go. And I actually need to dive into them more because they had like a little EP that they came out with like four songs. Listen to the hell out of all four because I'm like, geez, this is really good. But they might have come out with new music since, so I'll have to kind of pay attention to that. But yeah, highly recommend that for you guys. And then if we can find it too, I don't know if we'll be able to or not, but or if it'll be available on there. But let's play the new Judah and the Lion song for him too, Cullen. Yeah. That Quarter Life Crisis.
I'll play a snippet of that for him because that's also very good. And they're going to be on a couple festival lineups this year too now because
that's definitely hinting that they have a new album coming out.
For sure. That's going to be great.
That'll be great.
Last album was very good.
Yeah. Let's
close out the show with those and
We'll be back to wrap things up after that.